Gary Wirtish, President, Minnesota Farmers Union.
Gary, talk about the process of gathering input from folks in greater Minnesota, those that live in the rural part of the state. I know that it was a very important thing to go out and visit with folks. And so over the last, I guess I'm not sure how long, you've been hosting some meetings and gathering that input, and it culminated earlier this week with an announcement that included the Lieutenant Governor, Tina Smith. So walk us through this process, why Minnesota Farmers Union wanted to gauge the issues of rural Minnesota, and then what you found out from doing that.
Well, really, it started after the last November's election. There was a lot made up that, the rural voices weren't being listened to. So we, the Minnesota Farmers Union, we just say, well, we're going to go out and hear what the rural people have to say and hear their issues directly. And we did have the pleasure of participating with us was Lieutenant Governor Smith and a number of the various commissioners from the administration. We had the Commissioner of Ag, Commerce, and Human Services commissioners with us at attending a lot of these sessions. And we did bring out Rob LaRue from our National Farmers Union office to our Vice President of Government Affairs and Communications, who's got a lot of experience on the Hill working on farm bills. So that was our format. And we went out throughout the state. We held 14 sessions in 9 days. So we worked it pretty hard. In the turnout, we had very good turnouts, and basically we open up every session with, I make a few brief comments, and whoever is the guest with us, a various commissioner, lieutenant governor, whoever it was, we make a few comments, and we just open it up to the floor to let it go wherever it went and to hear the issues. And every meeting took a little bit different turn because you had different people. We had a wide array of people attending our meetings, from farmers to small business owners to school teachers and, health professionals, and also people who work in hunger in various areas. So, it's every meeting, but the one issue that really dominated was healthcare costs. And on top of that, you have the struggling farm economy, so all of a sudden the farmers getting hit with these high expensive insurance bills, so it's really tough. When you have a hard time cash flowing your farm, you have an additional expense. Makes it a real burden. So that, and the need, transportation needs, everybody spoke about, needing more funding for roads and bridges in their communities, and that's really throughout the state we heard that. Broadband needs, we heard a lot about that. Different, heard from a couple farmers that their sons working in the cities now, and they'd like to come over and keep their job in the cities and, gradually take over the farm, but because they're still on a dial-up system for internet, they weren't able to do that. So there's a lot of issues out there. We thank the administration for participating with us, and with our National Farmers Union, Rob LaRue. We had a lot of input on that. Obviously agriculture was a big part of the meetings too, of strong, with the upcoming farm bill going to be expiring in September of 2018, the need to write a new farm bill, and then we just got Sonny Perdue confirmed this week as an ag commissioner, so that will help. We've went a long time without an ag commissioner, nobody at the helm steering the ship for United States agriculture. So now we have somebody in place, so that will help us as we go forward. But we have, it turned out very well. We brought our whole hope with this is to bring these issues forward. We wrote up a report on this. We had a press conference yesterday that the Lieutenant Governor participated with, and the Human Service Commissioner and the Department of Ag participated. And we wrote up a report and gave it to them, and now we'll be giving it to all the legislators and hopefully use it as a roadmap as they work in the future and on these issues. Really what we heard as we went outstate is people are tired of politics playing a role in their life. They all agree that, we have one of the best, probably the best government in the world, especially when you compare it to some of the problems in the other country. But, they're tired of politics getting in the way of getting things done, whether it's healthcare costs, whether it's transportation needs, roads or bridging. That, they want people just to get together just as a farm, on a farm, when you have issues or problems, you figure out how to fix it. And they want, that was the strong message that came from all these meetings. They're just tired of people playing politics with the issues and not getting things done.
Well, and there's a, a balance that has to be found. And we talk about these issues, and you have the legislative session here in Minnesota that's going on. And then you mentioned the Farm Bill, Gary, and work that's being done on the 2018 Farm Bill. So the government is obviously going to continue to play a role in agriculture and the rules and regulations that farmers and folks in rural America have to abide by. So as far as the issues related to healthcare costs and infrastructure and some of those regulations, did the people in their feedback indicate that they're confident positive change is coming? Clearly they were frustrated. Did you sense that there's a belief that things are going to get better as it relates to some of these issues that were brought up?
I don't think we got that sense. We still got the sense of frustration and sense of worry. You know, there's no proof that things are going to get better yet. You know, there's been a lot of statements made, but, you know, I guess, you know, as a farmer, we're always optimistic. You know, you plant your crop, you'll go out and put in the crop of corn or beans. Even on paper, it maybe doesn't cash flow with the low prices, but, you know, we do that every year. So I think as a whole, farmers, you know, are an optimistic group and are optimistic things will get better, but, you know, at the present time, as far as regulations and trade agreements and that type of stuff, but, you know, at the present time, we don't have any proof of that yet, but, you know, we're willing to work on the issue and work for that for everybody.
So you've identified these issues. You have a unified voice now as you've compiled this report and you're giving it to lawmakers. What's your realistic hope, and what's the realistic hope of the Minnesota Farmers Union as these policymakers take a look at this input and decide what they want to do with it?
Well, obviously, you know, that question was asked in the press conference, like especially on healthcare costs. You know, at the state legislature, they're already in conference committees, but, you know, there'll be another session. You know, the issue is just to bring these issues forward and, you know, keep working on it, working on, you know, solve problems. You know, obviously some of the direction is already set this year, but, you know, it's, you know, more to influence if we can do some influencing this year, but, you know, more so as we go forward, the influence that's, you know, what the people are actually asking for.
I do want to ask you about spring planting here. So switching topics, but anything else related to the rural issues report before we switch gears?
No, I think that's, you know, that covers it. It's, you know, it's basically a report to try and, we're trying to use this report as a roadmap to help the legislators, whether they're urban or rural, to give them give them a platform of what the rural people are actually asking for. So we're hopeful that they can use this as a roadmap as they work on completing this session, but also sessions in the future.
All right, Gary, let's talk about spring field work a little bit. Remind me where your farm is and give me a brief description of your farm operation.
Well, our farm is by Renville, Minnesota in Renville County. So it's in the west central part of the state. You know, right now we're a traditional corn and soybeans and edible bean farm operation. You know, in the past we had raised livestock. We don't have any right now, but not saying that we won't have them again. But right now we're, you know, traditional corn and soybean planting. And in our area, there is some corn and sugar beets that are planted in the area. And we ourselves, we have one field of corn in. But, you know, now obviously with weather now, it's at a standstill for, you know, who knows long. But some field work has been done in our area.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about. Going back to the last crop progress report, which was as of Sunday, 6% of Minnesota's intended corn acreage was in, compared to 40% a year ago. And I know a year ago was pretty unique in how fast things got started, but the 6% is also behind the five-year average of 17%. So how concerned are you, and how concerned are Minnesota Farmers Union members that grow corn as you look at the calendar and see that May is right around the corner?
Yeah, I know. And you get all your university tests. You know, there used to be May 10th was the deadline. I think, you know, that from then on you start losing some crop yield and weather that. But at the same time, we don't have the ground temperature, the growing degree days. But, you know, it is a concern. You know, anytime you get too far into May, you are definitely cutting yourself short on the potential yield. But, you know, obviously the summer plays a big role in that. If we have a nice warm summer, providing it doesn't get too hot and dry it out, you know, you can make some of the ground up, but it is a concern. If you look at historical averages, you need to have that crop in the ground by the first part of April, the first part of May.
So the limited corn that you have planted, was that strictly a decision based on the ground was finally suitable to do that, or were you also looking at the forecast for this week and seeing that we were going to return back to cold, wet weather, and so you thought you'd get a few acres in, but you didn't want to go and plant a lot of corn and risk having that crop imbibe some cold water and have some potential stand loss or something like that?
That's actually really covers it well. You know, we had the time, the field was fit and ready, so we figured, well, we'll put one in and then we'll wait and, you know, let this weather system pass and before we do any more. So yeah, you really hit it on the head there. That's kind of what we decided to do, get a start and then hold off on the rest till the system passes through.
Last thing on the growing season, the state and the nation favoring soybeans a little bit more this year, as we're going to see maybe 89.5 to 90 million acres of soybeans, which would be a record. Did you decide to change your rotation at all based on any number of factors?
No, we haven't. You know, actually, when you went through the few years back when we had the higher commodity prices, we basically had a 50-50 rotation, and we've just stuck with that. I figure long-term, that's better for the operation rather than trying to jump back and forth. But so, we've pretty much stayed put at that for a long time.
Anything else you'd like to add on planting spring field work?
Well, actually, you know, we've had a lot of moisture last summer and last fall, we had a lot of moisture. So, the top intersoil is drying out very nice, but there's still a lot of subsoil moisture in the field. So, you know, our tile are running heavy. And so if this system hangs on too long, you know, we could have issues. But, you know, the fields were drying up nice, but we do need warm weather to get back in the field.